On today's episode of Third and Forever, Kevin and I recap the divisional round and give our reactions, as well as discussing the latest coaching hires around the league and other news. Then we jump into segments, starting with our hot take of the week, stock up, stock down, performance of the week, and the Nathan Peterman Award. We then look ahead to the championship week, and then, as always, with our two-minute drill. All right, let's go. Welcome to today's episode of Third and Forever. Today is Tuesday, January 15th, on the day we're recording this. I'm your host, Adam, joined as always by Kevin. Kevin, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm going to be honest, I'm feeling a little feisty today, and I'm not really sure why. I was driving home, and nothing even happened, but I was pulling into my apartment, and I thought, man, the nerve of that fucking guy. And then I realized I had no idea who I was thinking of. I was just mad in general. So this is going to be an angsty episode.
All right. Yeah. Great. Perfect. Well, before we get into the divisional round, there were some coaching hires and other news around the league.
Okay, I forgot what happened since our last episode, so you'll have to spell them out for me.
Yeah, so before we started, or when we recorded this last week, we did not know the hires of the teams that still need a head coach were the Bengals, Dolphins, Browns, and Broncos and Jets. And so three of those teams have announced and found their guy and made it official since recording last week. The Browns, as everyone expected, they hired their interim offensive coordinator, Freddie Kitchens, as now he's their full-time head coach.
They got rid of Greg Williams, too.
Yeah. But speaking of good old Greg, the Jets hired Adam Gase in a surprise move. People were a little surprised
if you watched the fucking press conference.
Fucking press conference. Oh, God. I don't know. He's a robot, right? That's had to be confirmed.
And he was either high or a robot. I mean, it's anyone's guess at this point.
What he was doing. He enjoyed his first night in New York a little too much. It was announced today that Greg Williams is being named their defensive coordinator.
Jets.
And he's being their guy. I mean, he did fine with Cleveland. I hate the man's guts. I think he's dirty.
He's a pretty significant piece of shit, but
yeah.
I don't know. I guess he's had some measure of success.
You can't take it all away
just because he's an asshole.
And then our wishes came true, or at least my explicit wishes came true. The Broncos hired Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator of the Bears this year, as their head coach. Thank God. They're the team going against what everyone else is doing in hiring a offensive, young-minded guy. They go an old, crusty, defensive-minded guy.
I mean, so, I still wanted them to hire Khalil Mack, like I said last week, but I'll settle for Fangio, I guess.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. So that leaves just two teams without a head coach as of now, Bengals and the Dolphins. But they both have their guy kind of lined up, both of which they're not taking interviews because their teams are still playing. The Bengals, of course, have been eyeing Zach Taylor, the quarterback coach of the Rams. No surprise, he's got, Sean McVay all over him.
When they let Hugh Jackson go last week.
Yeah.
What a sad moment for the NFL as a whole. I really had hope that they would just pull a full Bengals and hire that man.
Right. but then also the Dolphins, they have been eyeing Brian Flores, who's the current linebacker coach for the New England Patriots. They've been trying to get a hold of him, but time will tell, basically. But maybe next time, this time next week, if, games don't work out for either of those teams, they could be either interviewing or in the midst of conducting their imminent departures.
It's pretty fast coaching transition throughout the league this year. For the number of positions that were open, they got filled very quickly.
Well, and I think that's just more so, especially whenever you see a head coach, there's usually not a vacancy that long, just unless it's like a mid-season interim type of situation. But when a team lets go of a coach at the end of the year, they don't want to have that open vacancy for too long.
No, they want to move, and a couple of them, like the Packers and the Browns, you know, they knew what the situation was for a while. They kind of were able to lay some groundwork.
Yeah, exactly. But then also, I guess some other news. I believe Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Of course, good old Todd.
Has joined the Cleveland Browns coaching staff as their offensive coordinator. So that's I mean that could be pretty sweet combination for a guy like with Baker Mayfield. I mean,
well, he had to have the Baker seal of approval.
Yeah. And then the Packers, they signed
who did we sign? I forgot. I saw this news.
An offensive coordinator. It was
some guy with a name that's hard to remember.
Oh, Nathaniel Hackett. That's right. He was of the, you know, the very famously high-powered Jaguars offense. So there's he's very much very similar to like a Matt LaFleur, where he has like a very interesting background, where it's like, okay, he has a high potential to be great, but also I feel that he also has a high potential to just maybe not be great. Well,
and the thing about this is, I don't know. I don't think they've said if LaFleur is going to be play calling or not.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like the old offensive coordinator that we had before, you know, under McCarthy, the offensive coordinator was Philbin, who pretty much just got him coffee every once in a while and stood the sidelines in a green jacket. Like, the offensive coordinator was a non-job at Green Bay. And so if he's going to call plays again, if LaFleur is going to be calling the plays, then it's a non-job all over again. But if he's not, then it's actually significant. So,
yeah. And I also do feel, though, that probably stems from the background of Philbin. Like, he was an offensive line coach for most of his assistant work. And so he was that typically you don't see that being a play calling coach, at least with Hackett and LaFleur. They are like quarterbacks coaches, then going to like into coordinators. And so like they at least have some bit more of a standard play calling position. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that dynamic works, considering they both have come from play calling backgrounds.
Yeah, I don't know. Fuck it. It's not Mike. We're fine.
And other than that, was pretty much it for the hires. And so other than that, the other big news was Kyler Murray, Heisman winner from the 5'9", I think, quarterback from Oklahoma.
Yeah, he's a little
declares
guy
for the NFL draft. Even he foregoes his career for baseball, at least for now. He was selected 9th overall by the A's. Kind of just screws Oakland.
Yeah, that
sucks.
Like, I think overall it's the better career move, but it certainly makes him look like kind of a piece of shit to just like, oh, never mind, actually. I don't want to play that sport.
Yeah. I mean, I it makes sense. Like, I think, you know, if he gets picked in the first round, then I think it's definitely makes it worth it. And I think he will get picked in the first round just from people seeing what Lamar Jackson did this year.
I mean, if you win the Heisman and you don't end up being a first round pick, that's kind of a big disappointment at that
and
point.
And the biggest thing he's going to have against him, he's 5'9". I mean, I don't know if there's any quarterback that's that short.
Do they make platform cleats?
Right? Like, I mean, Russell Wilson, he's probably listed as like 5'11", but I don't know. Maybe that's in cleats. I don't know if that's him in cleats is 5'9". I hope so.
He's listed on Google as 5'11", and I'm going to say right now that is pure and utter horseshit. The man is probably 5'10", if he's really has good posture that day.
Yeah, and so it's well, interesting to see what he does. I mean, if I think, you know, if he really enjoys playing football more than baseball, then sure. I think baseball might have been maybe that you had the longer career, but also you're not going to make money for a while in baseball because you got to spend time in minors and who knows how long you're down there.
So I just Googled Russell Wilson height, right? And so it like just pops up right in the Google search with a bunch of Russell Wilson stuff. And you scroll halfway down the page, top stories. Exactly how tall is Kyler Murray? People, they knew exactly what I was trying to do. I think he made the right call overall in terms of where he's going to make the most money. I don't even think it was particularly close, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I believe that he'll really be a great quarterback, but even the, you know, the mediocre guys still make a good chunk of change while they're there.
Yeah. No, I agree. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of it for the breaking news around the league as of now. I'm sure we'll get those coaching hirings will come as these teams finish playing. But other than that, let's get right into the divisional round. There were I think we have to. In my opinion, I think the divisional round is like the best weekend of like a full weekend of football. I mean,
that's what I thought before this, but I think I like last week better.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, yeah, typically you should get better games just because at this point the teams that are there are usually, you know, the eight best playing teams at that time. There, unless it's like a team gets screwed out, you know, maybe the Bears, but you know, it is what it is. But
the Eagles still managed to make it a one score game, unlike AFC.
Yeah, I mean that one. There was some disappointing game. I mean, it's as we've seen, it's all chalk right now. I mean, no underdogs
boring,
won.
First of all,
what?
This is fucking boring, first of all. Like,
I mean, there's no underdog story going right now. But I would agree that the four teams remaining are the four best teams this year.
I mean, I wouldn't have agreed that a week ago, but I don't think you can really dispute it at this point.
Yeah. At least the four, like, most complete teams. I mean, even showing how New Orleans has kind of fallen off since them beating the Rams, or since since they beat the Rams, their offensive numbers have tanked, but they still keep winning games. I mean, their defense showed up when their offense kind of went away, and
yeah,
you kind of need to do that. But let's start with Indianapolis and Kansas City. This one was a lot further away even than the 18-point difference says. I mean, seven of the points that Indianapolis scored was on a blocked punt that was recovered in the end zone. Like,
yeah, I just, this game, it was one of the two games that defied all expectations for me this weekend. And not in a good way, you know. It wasn't like, oh my god, I can't believe that happened. It was like, ah, what the hell? Like, this is supposed to be good.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't score. The Colts offense didn't score until 5 minutes and 30 seconds left in the fourth. I mean,
yeah, they just
got destroyed. It should
not
have been that way.
No, but the thing,
Kansas,
I mean,
Kansas doesn't have a stout defense whatsoever.
Kansas City doesn't have a stout defense, and going into the week, all the talk was about Indy's offensive line. We gave them both, like, basically our performance of the week, and
yeah,
they did not earn it at all.
No, they did not.
I mean, only three sacks on Andrew Luck in the game, but he was pressured a lot more times than that.
And I think the hard part is their defense really just couldn't get any stops going for them. They let these long drives develop.
That's very true.
Because, I mean, if you look at the rushing stats, Indy was still averaging 6.2 a carry. That is plenty good. But they just didn't run that much because they were always down. Mm-hmm. They couldn't keep that game plan, so they had to become so one-dimensional, and it just killed them.
Yeah, this is an example of the game script really putting the losing team in a box early. And
yeah,
the Chiefs' defense isn't great, but when you give them that sort of scenario of, you know, just bend, don't break, you know, you guys are up big, just don't fuck it up, they can handle that. They're good enough to do that easy.
Yeah, and I think also it kind of got exposed some more that people don't talk about that much, is that Andrew Luck really is not good in cold weather situation whatsoever. I mean, he plays in a dome. He played college in California. Most of his games, like if it's in division, it's down south, so it's not really that cold. I mean, he is pretty lucky without having to play outside that much unless it's the playoffs. And it's just...
he's lucky.
Yeah, pun not intended. I didn't even try that one.
I think I wouldn't catch that.
No, but it's...
Yeah, no, this was a very disappointing game on a bunch of levels. I mean, the Chiefs look great, you know. I'm excited to see them play this week. I had high hopes for the Colts. I thought the Colts, I didn't think that they were the most likely underdog to pull out a win this week, but I thought they had a very good chance. I almost, you know, went back on what I was thinking and said Andy Reid's going to choke in January again, and not the case at all. So good for him, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, looking, and also I feel that the Colts, yes, they rode on a 9-1 ending to get in the playoffs. It'd be at 10-6 after going 1-5. But you look at the teams that they beat during that stretch. I mean, they beat the Bills, the Raiders, the Jaguars in a very close game when the Jaguars are crap this year, the Titans, the Dolphins. Then they lost the Jaguars. And then the Texans, which was a big win because the Texans were playing well, stomped the Cowboys and then barely beat the Giants and then winning against the Titans. So the opponents they played were not great.
Not great.
It kind of just, I mean, I feel that
how bad are the Texans now though, in retrospect? Yeah. Looking at how they got stomped by the Colts, and the Colts got annihilated the very next week, riding that high.
I think just the Chiefs are far and away the better team, and it showed. Not really surprising. Mahomes didn't have an insanely stellar game, but he was mistake-free, and yeah. Damian Williams continues just to be dominant on the run for them. I mean, the guy is just unbelievable.
As long as we keep that man out of hotels, I think the Chiefs should be just fine.
Exactly. let's move on to the first NFC game, the Cowboys playing the Rams. This was not how I thought this game was going to go.
This was weird because, like, I don't know. I said last week that it's all going to hinge on Dak's performance.
Yeah.
And he went out there and threw for 266 and a touchdown, which is okay. It's fine. He did well, but not very well. You know, like, not well enough to actually really swing the game in his team's favor. It was just, it's weird to watch.
I think he did what he needed to do. I thought he played very well considering it. What was surprising to me was, like, if you were to show me just the quarterback comparison, if you just showed me, knowing the defenses that each team has, that Dak was 20 of 32, 266, and a touchdown, and Jared Goff was 15 of 28, 186, zero touchdowns, I would be like, the Cowboys probably just ran the ball and won this game, and you know, they shut down their run. But the fact that the Rams, the other LA team, ran for 273 team yards on this defense, that's insane. Like, that should not have happened.
And the leading rusher in terms of yards and carries was CJ Anderson.
Yeah.
Who, like, I was watching the game and I kept seeing this fat little dude running around with Anderson. And I was like, who the hell is this Anderson guy? I thought he was like their eighth string running back. And then I heard the announcer go, yeah, and CJ Anderson. And my brain clicked and I realized that I heard him getting, did he get traded or signed or whatever he did to get on the Rams? And I was like, holy fuck, what? Like,
yeah. This was his third game with the Rams and his third 100-yard game with the Rams. I mean, and the thing is, looking at this game, he had 123 yards, but only the longest run of the day for him was 15 yards. He's just pounding the ball. Like,
yeah, it's just consistent. I mean, do you think that Gurley is nursing something right now? I mean, I know he had 16 for a buck 15 and a touchdown, but
I think it's more so that...
Are they, like, resting him for for the next two games
They're just trying to keep his legs as fresh as possible, and knowing that CJ Anderson is performing and doing this, it just makes it even easier so he doesn't have to carry the ball 20 times. He can have CJ Anderson, you know, be kind of like that bell cow for this, especially against this defense, where now they can, you know, they can keep Gurley fresh for the last two games of the year, hopefully, that they get to play.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a good point. I just know that he was kind of dealing with something towards the end of the season, and if that was lingering, I mean, they had a bye week, and I think they held him out at the end of the season, didn't they, for a couple weeks?
Yeah, he sat the last 2 weeks of the year. I didn't have a fantasy championship, thank you. But I had Damon Williams, so there's depth.
Oh, wow, nice. A sick brag about your fantasy team.
It's a humble brag.
It's a sick price. You win the league. Some of us win the bottom half of the league. Sixth place.
Congrats.
Thank you.
You came in second in the consolation bracket. No. Oh, yeah. You came in last in the actual just playoff bracket.
Yeah, that's right. Bring it up the rear. They call me the caboose.
But, yeah, I mean, Zeke Elliott had 20 carries for only 47 yards. I mean, and you take away 15 of those yards and one of those carries, and That's very sad.
Yeah, I mean, he did not have a very nice day, which is weird to see because Zeke is just so consistent the majority of the time. And for some reason, the Rams' defense, which I'd say that their front four is probably their biggest strength, but still.
Yeah.
Didn't expect to see Zeke bottled up like that.
Yeah, I mean, he was taking away his longest run of the day. He averaged a carry of 1.68 yards.
Yeah.
His other 19 carries. Yikes. Not going to win many games with that when your best offensive player is doing that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm glad the Rams won, too, and we'll get to it in the NFC, the other NFC game later, but I think, you know, the best two teams did win. And
yeah.
I was joking with you earlier about if we got to see a Cowboys-Eagles NFC championship game, like how much would you throw up? And
be terrible.
Yeah.
But moving to
the worst game of the weekend.
Holy shit.
The first game in my entire bracket that I got wrong. I'm not even mad.
Like, this was just...
This was ugly. This hurt. This hurt my soul.
I mean, 35-7 at half?
Yeah.
Like,
and that 7 was just like blown coverage bomb to Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it counts, but it's not like they really earned that drive.
No. And the thing is, like, if you look at, sure, you can argue that the 14 points that they scored, that the Chargers scored in the fourth were kind of garbage time, but Phillip Rivers, all in all, like, he wasn't accurate, but he ended up having a pretty decent day considering, mm-hmm. but their defense just was horrendous.
Well, this starts with the defense where they're playing this soft candy ass zone against
probably the most knowledgeable
quarterback to ever play the game. Yeah, you're treating Tom Brady like he's Lamar Jackson, and he's literally the exact opposite of Lamar Jackson. He's really good at throwing, and he can't move. Like, I don't know what the fuck.
You're not going to fool him at all.
I swear to God, I think I saw a QB spy at some point in this game, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Like, I'm sorry. He's, like, the worst thing you can do is sit in a soft zone coverage. Because he's just going to pick you apart.
Yeah, if you watch the highlights of this game, like, I've watched the highlights, you know, I think on Monday, yesterday, when I was trying to kind of reimagine, you know, what happened and kind of re-digest everything.
Yep.
I mean, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 7. They're playing this soft fucking zone. Brady mm-hmm. hits somebody in the slot or out of the backfield for, you know, 6 yards on 3rd and 5, 7 yards on 3rd and 6. I don't know how you don't make adjustments. I really can't understand it. I know that's their whole scheme. That's the defense that they run. But you have to change something.
Yeah, this was ridiculous. I mean, I'm sorry. Sony Michel running for 129 yards and 3 touchdowns on you?
Mm-hmm.
Not okay. When you have the front of Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa in there, it's like, that should not be happening. That shouldn't.
This was a huge game for Patriots fans too, in that we'd been hearing, and I think I said it last week, I said this is the day that the Patriots dynasty dies. So that was wrong. I was a week early, but we'll get to that. if you hated Patriots fans before, they can tell that it's almost over. They all know in the back of their minds that this cannot continue, and that
the quarterback's 41.
Yeah,
it's gotta end sometime.
Absolute best case scenario: in 3 years, they're 7-9. You know, like, but for right now, and the desperation that is breeding within the fan base, they are worse than ever.
Yeah,
like it's a lot. Yeah. I'm talking to you, Devin. it's a lot, and it. I don't know. I need it to be over. I think, you know how we said last week that, like, it's kind of nice because, like, I don't really care who wins because all the teams I hate are out, right?
Yeah.
I need someone to hate no matter what. I need, no matter who's in the Super Bowl, I pick someone. And I've never watched a Super Bowl and been like, I genuinely don't care. I need the hatred to fuel my fandom. And I've found it here. And so I guess I'm a little bit thankful, but Still.
I see, like, I won't care if the Patriots win, but that's just because, you know, I like Tom Brady, but it's like one of those things, like I definitely am with you on the fan on the fandom being a little just elevated, like they're just worse. But I definitely am with you on that.
And the elevation coming from the fact that they know that this is one of the last years they'll get to do this, so they're kind of blowing out all the stops, especially in the face of everyone telling them it's over, and every time it doesn't end up being over, you get that much more obnoxious, and then eventually it's over, but you still had your fun.
This game was very disappointing. I was really hoping to see a great game here.
Yeah, this was supposed to be like the best game of the whole fucking week. This was supposed to be really exciting.
Just did not show up.
They ruined my weekend.
You know, and the thing is, like, if any team's going to be able to go into Foxborough and win, it would have been the Chargers, considering every game for them is an away game.
Yeah.
It's like,
and this is a strikingly similar situation to the other AFC game where the home team jumped out to an early lead. And you look at Philip Rivers' numbers, 25 of 51. You know, I mean, they were throwing the entire day.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing that happened to the Colts where, you know, I mean, Andrew Luck was 36. They ran the ball considerably more. But still, they didn't get out to nearly as big of a deficit. I mean, you put them in a corner, and then it's really easy to play defense on people you know are never going to run the football.
Yeah. I mean, Melvin Gordon had touched the ball 10 times.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the biggest way if a team you're playing has a phenomenal running back, honestly, the best way to take them out is just go up early.
Yep.
I mean, because they just had to abandon the run, and next thing you know, they're like, shit, we are, like, after the second quarter, they cannot run the ball anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're down 35-7 at halftime, you're like, there goes any chance of using a run play.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know, it was so frustrating to watch. This was the only game where I didn't watch the whole thing.
Yeah,
I think like middle of the third quarter or something like that. I was like, all right, you know what? It like Jason or who was it? No, it was Tony Romo and whoever he's with. It was that crew doing it. Yeah, Nance. And I mean, they were like making jokes 10 minutes left in the third about how over the game was. Like, it was just sad.
Yeah,
it just pumped me out.
And then let's move to the other game. It was the best game, I guess.
It was the closest game.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good back and forth game, I guess.
The Eagles were at the score in the last three quarters, but it was a good game.
Yeah, but I feel like that could be a little misleading. And so this one, I was shocked when it was, you know, after the first, I was like, holy shit. Like, I think I even texted you and I was like, I was like, Big Dick Nick showing up, like, uh-oh. Yep. They're like, the magic's real. And
then he threw two picks.
Yeah, and then he threw two. But the second one is not his fault whatsoever.
No. I mean, Jeffrey had a really nice game up until that point, but that...
It's been a great season since Nick Foles took over.
Yeah. I mean, it's
been their offense in the past game.
When you have Jeffrey and Ertz, and you get them both going.
Yeah.
I mean, Golden Tate was nowhere to be found in this game.
Yep.
It's weird looking at the receiving stat line for the Eagles, because you know, you have Jeffrey and Ertz. Then the next three are Jordan Matthews, Darren Sproles, Golden Tate, which are all names that you feel like should be pretty decent. Like, those could
I'm very shocked at the lack of involvement from Darren Sproles and even Dallas Goedert, the guy, the rookie tight end they just got, who's kind of very similar play style to Zach Ertz.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even record a catch.
Nope.
Not even a target. I mean, it's just like,
Their offense is kind of funky. I can't really make heads or tails of it.
No. I mean, it was they had a chance that they most likely were going to take the lead. I mean, they were driving in the end of the game because it was after the Saints attempted to kick a field goal to go up and to go up by 9 with only 3 minutes left. And they attempted a 52-yard field goal that went wide right and missed. And that, you know, gave the Eagles a great chance to go down the field and take the lead. And Foles drove them. I mean, there was a costly roughing the passer penalty that gave him 15 yards that put him at the 27. And then they tried to do a, you know, a run play, because they're like, all right, we got 2:25 left. We don't have to, you know, only 27 yards. We can start running the ball. And they hand it off, got nothing. And it's, the clock is ticking down. It's like, you know, single digits in the two, almost at the 2-minute warning. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, they're going to wait for everyone. Everyone thought they're just going to wait for the 2-minute warning. But then Nick Foles rushed everyone in the line and he hiked it right before the 2-minute warning, which ended up being the last play of their season, where he had Alshon Jeffrey on a slant at the 19 yard line. It would give him the first down. Yep. And it literally went right through Alshon's hands and into the waiting arms of Marshon Lattimore to pick it off to seal the game.
I say this all the time sarcastically, you know, you hate to see it, but you do hate, like, that's kind of sucks right there. Like,
yeah.
I mean, obviously if you're, you know, a Saints fan, you fucking love it, but the vast majority of people that are just kind of cheering for an exciting game, it's like, oh, dude, yeah. Come on.
This one was a tough one for me, because I think, honestly, it would have been more enjoyable for me to see the Saints lose, especially it being at home and the day before the anniversary of the Minneapolis Miracle, if they ended up losing in a last minute drive, or like a 2-minute drive, fourth quarter drive to take the lead by Nick Foles in their building. That would have just been heartbreak again for them. Second division rounds.
Can you explain to me? I know the Eagles hatred is from last year mostly, right?
Yeah, it's all from last year.
It's all from last. Okay. The Saints hatred is from Vikings legend Brett Favre era. Is that correct?
2009 NFC Championship game, the Bounty Gate game. Yeah.
Okay.
100% there.
You're still mad about that.
Yeah, and I don't like Sean Payton as a coach. I don't. I mean, I think he's a massive asshole, but that's it.
I don't
have an issue with Drew Brees. If Drew Brees was on any other team, or if there was a way for Drew Brees to succeed and Sean Payton not to, I'd be okay with it, but there's not. And I don't know.
I just wanted to double check that nothing more recently had happened, because, I mean, you know, I don't hate, like, the Cardinals at all for, like, beating the Packers in the playoffs. It just kind of happens.
Yeah, but I feel like you have to look at the games themselves. They were in little bit different. Like, the Bounty Gate game was –
still lost that because Favre threw a pick at the end. Trust me, it was one of the defining moments of my childhood.
I'm saying we went to overtime because of that happened. There were several things where I just do not agree with in that game that I refuse to talk – to go into.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I'm not trying to – I'm trying to invade your safe space. I just wanted to make sure I knew what was going on with
that. You're getting close. You're getting your inching closer and closer.
I'm tipping my big toe in the safe space pool.
Yeah.
Well, you get to cheer for the Rams this week, it looks like.
Indeed. Really, I don't want to see either. I mean, I don't have an issue with the Rams. It would just be kind of
more
so.
I mean, you're cheering for the Chiefs more than for the Rams, but...
Yeah. But yeah, all right. I mean, that's kind of it. Based on what I got for those games.
To say?
I guess we can go into the hot take of the week. Kevin, why don't you go first this week?
All right, my hot take of the week. And you know, last week I said the day the Patriots dynasty died, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was incorrect. I'm going to come out here and say it. So this week I'm going to go ahead and double down because the Patriots played themselves. They are going to lose this weekend, and it is going to be so much worse because it's going to be the picture of the NFL passing Tom Brady by. It is going to be the new young quarterback kicking Tom Brady's ass all up and down Arrowhead in a game that they would have had home field advantage in if they hadn't lost to the Lions and the Dolphins and the Titans and other shitty teams. This is going to be the day the Patriots dynasty died, and it's going to be even worse than if you get beat by a different old man in Philip Rivers and his ragtag bunch of, you know, fun, frisky guys with no fans. This is going to be the actual end. That's my hot take. That's what's going to happen.
All right. I mean, yeah, I definitely can see it. It's definitely the It's the game that could symbolize, you know, the changing of the guard and having.
And if they win, then I'm just going to, my hot take next week is going to be, okay, the Super Bowl is going to be the day of the Patriots dynasty. And if they win that, we're going to start week one next year and be like, this is the day. It's going to be my hot take until it happens.
All right. My hot take of the week, I say this part is not so hot, but Nick Foles will leave Philadelphia. He's not going to return to the Eagles after this season. But my hot take is that he will finish ahead of Carson Wentz statistically next season. And it will cause a whole lot of stir. And Eagles fans and other talking heads be like, what if? What did we make like the right decision or not?
I like it. The doubt.
Yeah. So that's my hot take.
Nice.
Going into stock up, stock down. I'll start off. Stock up is chalk. I mean, no underdog won. It is extremely rare in a typically in we usually see in years past.
You know, at least a three seed or yeah, something.
Some teams getting in there, but not this year. It's 1-2, 1-2. You don't see that very often.
Invest in chalk.
Yeah, invest it's in rising. Chalk.
My stock up is the narrative, because I guarantee by, you know, 11:30 on Saturday or whatever the fuck. I haven't actually heard this stated yet, but I know it's going to be shoved down America's throat mercilessly. The narrative of the young guy versus the old guy, the old guard versus the new young blood of the NFL in Goff versus Breeze and Mahomes versus Brady. I mean, it writes itself. It's so easy. I bet they're going to have, you know, some terrible graphic on Fox of Drew Brees in like a gown and a walker with tennis balls. And it's going to be some narrative that it'll be fun the first couple times you hear it.
Yeah.
And then you want it to stop immediately, and it won't stop. It'll keep going and going and going and going and going and going. So that's my stock up is the narrative.
I'm also very interested. It's weird. This year they flip-flopped the games. Typically the AFC Championship game is the beginning one, and the NFC is the one that's at night, and they have it flipped this year.
Yeah, I think they're just predicting that more people want to see the Pats Chiefs.
I am also very pissed that the Super Bowl is CBS now, and is going to be CBS this year, not NBC. I need Al Michaels and Collinsworth to call that game. I don't want to have
you need the slide in before the start of the game, right? Yeah.
I don't want to listen to. And I gotta like see, you know, like the PFF grades and all that.
Which
I don't want to see listen to Nance and Romo the whole game of the Super Bowl. I just don't know. I don't. I like and I Sunday Night Football is my favorite. It's just my overall favorite. I don't want to hear Romo like, oh, I don't know.
I don't know, Jim.
I don't.
Okay, wait. So which network has the Green Zone?
That's NBC.
Fuck!
I know! That's NBC. We have no more NBC games.
Damn it!
Fox is doing the NFC Championship, and CBS is the AFC, and the Super Bowl is also CBS. I can't believe
they did this to us. You can't just give us the Green Zone all year and then take it away like this. In the most important time.
I don't like it. I don't like it. NBC, you gotta get that Super Bowl. That is like the biggest game. I mean, come on. It's the biggest important event.
What else are you doing?
I don't know.
No,
doing
nothing.
The voice? I don't know.
No, the masked singer, it's Antonio Brown.
Oh, God. Wow. But all right, my stock down is the All-LA Super Bowl. So many people in this were saying we're going to have the All-LA
Both all the season. Fans are so all sad. All season,
people were saying that was a huge pick, an All-LA Super Bowl. And my question is, like, hypothetical, what kind of fans would have been there if it was, like, Chargers-Rams Super Bowl? Because like,
it would have been like an actual true conglomerate of like the entire NFL minus those two teams.
Like I don't really know what kind of the Chargers and Rams fans would have come out of the woodwork, I guess, but like maybe they would like hand out jerseys and team gear just so
maybe some
like
of them
fans.
But like the Super Bowl is expensive too. If you're not like a fan, I don't think that a lot of them are going to I don't think a lot of the fair weather guys are going to slap on the, you know, jersey they have from back when the Rams were still in St. Louis or something and like pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars to watch a team they don't really give that much of a shit about.
Yeah,
that's sad. I would have liked them to like take a poll as people were entering the stadium and get like the breakdown of fandoms because
yeah,
it would have been pretty fucking funny.
Basically, just find out what the richest fan base is.
Yep.
Like the average like household income of a fan base. All right, what's your stock down?
I'm going to keep this brief. My stock down is the goddamn Chargers. Next question.
No. All right, fair enough. All right, performance of the week. I'll go first. My performance of the week, Chiefs defense, and one that they should not have been. They fucking balled out, man.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, the biggest stat I look at is Andrew Luck only averaged 4.5 yards per pass attempt, and the Colts as a team were 0-for-9 on third down against one of the worst defenses statistically in the NFL. Yikes.
Get hot when it matters, I guess. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. They definitely helped turn the tide. I hope they can do it again this week.
Yeah.
Let's see. My performance of the week is Sony Michelle. He 24 carries, buck 29, 3 touchdowns. And just the fact that, I mean, Rex Burkhead had 4 carries. James White had 0 carries.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Sony was the only...
Yeah, but he also had,
only...
15 catches.
Oh, yeah, no, James White had a hell of a day, you know, in other aspects. But in terms of actual rushing threat, it was almost 100% Sony Michel. And, I mean, he had a hell of a day. I think they use him really, really well, and he did benefit from the fact that they were coasting for most of the game. But, I mean, when you know that's happening and you still let him run all over you for 3 touchdowns, that's pretty impressive. I'm curious to see what he'll do this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a stat that said it was like something along the lines of how, like, even more so how bad the Chargers defense was because of how predictable the Patriots offense was. I think whenever they were in 11 personnel, and then like when they had Sony Michel and Devlin, their fullback, on the field at the same time, they ran the ball like 92%. And when they had James White in the field and without like Sony Michel, they passed like 87 or whatever, like 85%. Mm-hmm. So like extremely predictable. Like, but they just didn't care. They're like, it was a whole, like, you know what we're going to do, but you can't stop it. And it's just like, try and stop it. But they just
also
didn't.
I really want Sony Michel to get cut like next year and go to the Packers so we can have LeFleur, and then we can also have fitness consigliere Michel. Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah, no, it's not a great look for.
No, and that, actually, that goes into my Nathan Peterman Award, which is Anthony Lynn.
Oh, all right.
He got coached in fucking circles. Bill Belichick has coached in an obscene number of playoff games, and I'm not expecting Anthony Lynn to be on that level because I frankly don't think anyone is. But he got smacked in the face and he never recovered. You know, he landed flat on his ass and didn't make adjustments. And maybe a lot of it is on the defensive coordinator, but when your defense is getting torched that much, it's also on you as a head coach to step in and make sure that, you know, you make any adjustment, you try anything you can in this situation, and they just did nothing.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, again, Chargers, you blew it. It was your year. You blew it.
You blew it.
Probably cost Phillip Rivers his last chance. I mean, maybe it depends on regression, I guess, because I don't think their team talent's not going anywhere. But it's just a matter of he's at an age where a quarterback could just fall off. And so
Peyton Manning it.
Yeah. Go from 1 year breaking records to the next can't throw a ball.
Throwing fucking goose, yeah.
Yeah. All right, my Nathan Peterman Award winner is Alshon Jeffrey's hands. Oh, God. And the
just
worst,
his hands.
The worst part about this, and maybe his mouth, because the worst part about this, just 4 weeks before the game, he said, and I quote, hands down, I think I've got the best hands in the league. Oh.
Hands down.
Oh, no. Yeah, put those hands up, young blood. God. Like, the worst part was Twitter never forgets. It was instant. They found out, they're like, oh, Alshon in December. I have the best hands in the NFL. Alshon Jeffrey. First of all, he says Alshon Jeffries today. Drops the pass right through his hands. Interception. Season's over. Yikes.
Yeah, it's not a good look. It's really hard to pull off being that wrong about yourself.
Oh God. But all right, yeah. Looking ahead to the championship week, we of course start, as I previously mentioned, we have the Rams traveling to New Orleans to take on the Saints in the NFC title game at 3:05 Eastern time on Fox. Beginning lines, early lines that I saw yesterday, when they first were made available, Vegas had the Chiefs, or I'm sorry, the Saints favored 3.5 points with an over under of 56.5. So pretty much even if you consider the home field getting 2.5 or 3 points typically. Mm-hmm. But as of today, just a day later, the line is still Saints 3.5, but the over under went up to 57. So it went up 0.5 point.
Yeah, and looking ahead to this game, I mean, obviously it could go either way. These are both great football teams, but mm-hmm. I think that home field advantage is going to play a huge role in this. I think that the Saints thrive in their dome. And, I mean, you know, the Rams are one of those teams where you go, oh, well, every game's a road game. But, you know, I think there's a difference between the lack of fans at your own stadium and being trapped, especially in the dome like this, with the rabid Saints fan base. I think that the Saints are going to ride that energy, and I think it'll probably be pretty close, but they will pull out the
considering
win.
They already lost to them in the dome earlier in the year. Maybe hopefully that you know, McVay can drop something, or they can minimize, or really Wade Phillips can minimize their defensive shortcomings, especially take advantage of the Saints not hitting on all cylinders on offense, and hopefully they can put out another strong performance on D.
Yeah, it's definitely possible, but I don't know. I would give the edge to the Saints just based on, you know, how they play in the dome versus on the road. I think if this was in L.A., you could make a really strong argument for the Rams, but
But I would not be surprised if this game is another, a very similar, you know, like another like 20-14 like the Saints had last week.
Yeah, if this isn't a one-score ordeal, I'm going to be... What are you fucking mad at the NFL? I need more close playoff games. This is stupid.
But yeah, and then going to the AFC Championship game, we have the New England Patriots traveling to Arrowhead to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. I am really excited for this game.
I am very excited for it, and I just think that it's so crazy. I mean, if this game takes place in New England, I don't know if I could, you know, throw my wholehearted endorsement behind the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But since this is another one, you know, this is another one where I think that it being an Arrowhead is a huge advantage, or maybe it's just a lack of disadvantage because there's something about Foxborough. They like, you know, it's an Indian burial ground or something that Bill Belichick sacrificed to who knows what, and they just never lose.
I mean,
considering
like where it is in the country, I wouldn't be surprised.
It's probably actually an Indian burial ground.
If there's something, I mean, maybe.
Yeah, but the fact that they have to travel to Arrowhead to play the Chiefs,
which is a very difficult game to play in. And
it is a difficult game to play.
Also to note, Tom Brady is not too great in playoff road games. That's like the one knock that they
that's
have.
His Achilles
not
heel.
Above 500 winning percentage. Mm-hmm. Not even above like 600 winning percentage.
Well, and I've heard some Patriots fans saying, oh, it's going to snow in Kansas City. You can't claim that the other team's weather is a benefit to you.
Yeah.
If anything, like it's a wash because you're in their town. You know? Unless it starts snowing in Miami or something, this is not a factor. Like,
and they still put up 31 points when it did snow, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah, it was a lot worse in Kansas City last week than it was in Foxborough. So, But this is going to be a very interesting game. It's really going to determine if I can have a chill Super Bowl or not.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with either one of these teams. I think I would love to see, you know, it's one of those things for me. Like, I know, like, the Chiefs, obviously with Mahomes, they're going to have a lot more opportunities in the future. Like, this is not like, but it's not where.
Yeah,
like,
window is wide open on them.
Yeah. With them. And so I they have a lot of time, but. But early lines on this one, it has the Chiefs favored 3 points, and the over-under was 57.5. Today, it is still Chiefs 3 points, but then the over-under is down to 55. So they put it down a little bit, but those are
this game is like, you know, the Chiefs like wide open window, the Patriots are like trying to like do the Indiana Jones, like grab his hat under the door, but it's a Lombardi trophy, like, oh fuck, like right at the very end, like
but no, there was, I did see one interesting thing. So if anything confirms what coaching hires are doing this year or what teams are doing, the in going offensive minded guys or offensive heavy or putting a huge emphasis on that, it fucking makes sense. The four remaining teams are the 1 through 4 teams in scoring offense in the league this year. Of course the Chiefs being first and the Patriots being fourth. But what I did see, that might be a little misleading, because the gap between the Chiefs and the Patriots from 1 to 4 is the exact same point gap from the Patriots at 4 to the Titans at 27. Whew. So
the Patriots are the front of like the pack, but the Chiefs are like way out in front of everybody.
Yeah, like it's a little bit misleading, but still, like that's a really interesting thing. It's complete reverse of last year's Final Four teams, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's complete, you know, night and day, but it's
a cycle. The defenses will be back next year.
Yeah. I mean, I think so too. I mean, it's the current trend. And so I want to be surprised.
Yeah. I think we're in for some fireworks this weekend though. I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. But all right, let's go and 2 minute drill unless you have anything else.
I forgot we hadn't done that yet. No.
All right. You want to go first or should I?
I'll go first.
Okay.
All right. So you kind of already answered. All right, let me pretend to set up the stopwatch. Okay. Ready, set, go. All right. You already said you think Foles will leave. So where will he go?
You got to be kidding me. This is my exact same first question.
My question was just like, what do you think the Eagles are going to do with their quarterbacks? But then you answered like you talked about Foles. So I was like, oh, I gotta adjust.
Where do I think Foles is going?
Yeah.
I haven't looked at, I guess, the cap. I guess that really depends on it.
Well, yeah.
I think he's going to go to the Jaguars.
The Jaguars? I could see that. I was thinking, just looking at it myself, that I mean, he might go to the Broncos. I don't know what their situation with Case Keenum is, but yeah. I can't imagine it's going
Elway's
very well.
Elway's been cryptic. He's been like, you know, Keenum's our quarterback for now, or like
for now.
Yeah, he always says like right now he is. It's like, well, that okay. But yeah, so I say the Jags just because I think they have cap room. I don't know.
They probably will once they cut Fournette too.
I'm hesitant to say the Giants because I think that he would want to go, but Eli
is not leaving for at least another year. I don't think.
Yeah, like, they're not going to force Eli to sit on the bench, and they're not, you know, whatever.
They're not going to Flacco him.
Yeah. All right. Well, that answered kind of my question too. So you go again.
All right. See, this is efficient. We're going to do 2 minutes. Is Jared Goff elite?
Not yet. Too soon to tell. Too much. It's still too much. More McVay than Goff.
Mm-hmm.
Product of the system right now. How many more years does Rivers have?
God damn it, Adam. This is very similar to one I had. Rivers has
37, I believe.
37. He's got 3 more years. Okay. The last one won't be good. Will Rivers get another shot at the Super Bowl?
barring his own physical regressions,
but,
yes.
But what? But if he like, do you think he will?
Yeah.
Do you think that he'll regress enough next year that they won't be a factor?
I don't think he's gonna regress much at all next year. I mean,
okay. He'll get another shot next year. Then.
There'll be another contender next year.
Okay.
In the last few years, 3 or 4 teams that made the playoffs the year before. In a divisional round, have missed the postseason the next season. Which of the 8 teams from the divisional round has the highest chances of missing the playoffs next year?
Let's see here. I think that the Patriots have a high chance of missing next year. Ooh. I think that the Eagles have a fairly high chance of missing next year. And if the Eagles miss, I think the Cowboys make it in. So I'm going to say my third one is the Colts.
Yeah, I was going to say, Colts got to be in there.
I didn't want to quite say the Colts because I felt like it was too easy, but I went for it.
I'm curious. Like, it's hard for me to say the Patriots because, like, who in their division is going to win it? I think the Jets are
still. Adam Gase.
They're going to be a mess, the Jets. the Dolphins are, they don't have a quarterback or
I'll tell you who's going to win. Josh Allen is going to win the AFC
the
East.
The Bills are the Bills.
Josh Allen.
All right.
My last one. Which one would you more prefer? The Old Man Bowl or the Young Blood Bowl? If it was Chiefs, Rams, or Saints, Patriots, which one would you most like to see in the Super Bowl?
Well, I've been already vocal about wanting to see the Chiefs play just as long as they can. But I think in terms of last opportunity, the only chance we'll be able to see, seeing Breeze and Brady in the Super Bowl would be pretty sweet just because we've never seen it. We probably will never see it if it doesn't happen this year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I guess I'll say that just because I'm sure down the road we're going to see if Goff stays with McVay, we'll see a Goff.
Yeah, if Mahomes never gets to another Super Bowl, that will be criminal misconduct.
Yeah, that would be really bad. All right. Should the Eagles actually keep Foles over Wentz? He's shown that he can win and stay healthy, unlike Wentz, in their current system and is only 5 years older than Wentz, and he's still under 30 years old.
No, they shouldn't. I think Carson Wentz is a better overall player. I think that Nick Foles is good, and maybe, Nick Foles has the clutch gene a little bit more than Wentz, but I think that they've invested a lot in Wentz, and I think that they can sell high on Foles and, hopefully do some work on defense or, try and give Wentz some more weapons or maybe an offensive line so he stops getting hurt. I think that Wentz is still the better solution, even though, short term, Foles looks like the sexy pick.
All right. I guess they're going to have to make a decision, obviously, this year. But because, Carson Wentz will be expensive because he's still on his rookie contract, I believe. Yeah.
Wentz? I think.
I think he has more gear.
Is he gonna be able to ask for that much money if he's been hurt?
If Foles leaves, then he definitely will be able to because
he'll be able to ask for some money. But I don't think he'll be able to ask for any record breaking contract unless they're gonna go full Garoppolo on him.
I mean, he's gonna be a $25 million at least a year guy for sure, 25 to 30 a year. I mean, Sam Bradford got 1 year, $20 million. I mean,
yeah, and I don't even know if they keep Wentz either. But I just don't think that Foles would be able to be as successful as he has been in his various playoff runs. Which, to put it in perspective, this second one was one game that he didn't play well in, and then this game that he lost. So I think that he's the sensationalist pick, and I don't think he's as good as people think he is.
Yeah. I just think it's just pretty shitty that their season ended. I mean, because he needed to do. It was literally through the hands of the so-called best hands in the NFL. Like, that sucks because, that stat obviously goes against Foles when it's like, that should never happen. But that's how the NFL works and how football happens sometimes. But, yeah. All right, quick pick. Who's in the Super Bowl?
The Chiefs and the Saints are in the Super Bowl, and the Saints win. I'm keeping my pick of the Saints winning, and I'm just changing out Kansas City for the Chargers for Kansas City.
Saints win. All right. I guess I'm just going to be different, and I'm going to say the Super Bowl is going to be the Patriots against the Rams with Tom Brady getting one more.
See, now we could both be wrong still because we're the exact opposite. This is good.
Yeah.
And we didn't pick an Old Man Bowl or a Young Blood Bowl.
I really almost picked the Saints, but I was like, I'm just going to go completely opposite. And I'm having faith that McVay can right the ship the second time around.
I would be curious to see McVay coaching against Belichick. I think that would be very interesting.
Yeah. There too. He's basically he's how Sean Payton was when he, they have very similar careers where people were very hesitant on hiring Sean Payton because he was so young and the Cowboys didn't give him the job. So he's like, all right, I'll go to the Saints and they'll give me it. And then he was, you know, that off the first, one of the first like offensive gurus pretty much to come into the league and started producing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at McVay, and the Rams even said he was too young for the job, but they hired him because they didn't want to lose him, because they knew he was going to go to the, like, the Niners or something like that, because he nailed his interview there.
Yeah.
I think he was a – grew up a Niners fan, I'm pretty sure.
I don't remember.
I think he did. Maybe not. I don't know. He's from Dayton. He was born in Dayton, Ohio, so I don't know.
Yeah, that would be a little weird, but weirder things have happened, I guess.
Yeah. But all right, yeah. So we'll see here. I'm excited to see for a full – fun Sunday of football. Hopefully that these games are better than last week.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm gonna have the fam up visiting me this weekend. I'll get to watch at least one of these games, probably with my old man. It's gonna be fun.
Oh yeah. All right, buddy. Unless you have any final words, say goodbye.
Anthony Lynn, say you're sorry.